off the ball
track. I was enjoying the heat chat just a second ago. I managed to catch that. It's one of my top five. So yeah, that brightened my morning a little bit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Thursday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, there's a new chair of World Rugby. Mathieu Jalibert walks out of the France camp ahead of their test with the All Blacks. And there's more confusion over the future of London Irish. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up, Caelan Doris says tomorrow's test with the Pumas is a second chance for the majority of the Ireland players. A reminder that Andy Farrell has made just one change to his starting 15 following on from last week's 10-point defeat to the All Blacks. Doris has highlighted one area where Ireland most certainly need to improve tomorrow night.
Discipline for this team has been a strength. I think we average around 10 penalties or less. We were up at 13 and they came at crucial moments in the game. We had five in a row after we scored in the second half and they kicked 9 points from that. And as we were getting momentum back, it completely turned back towards them. And a lot of them are, you're always going to, when you're playing on the edge, you're always going to give away a few, but a lot of them were avoidable ones. So there's disappointment around that. But there's also a feeling that there's more in us in terms of intent and in terms of sort of making it happen a little bit as individuals. I definitely felt that myself, that there's more in me. And I was a little bit disappointed with the kind of lack of impact on the game and not as many involvements as I would have liked. And I know a few guys feel like that, so... Yeah, we've another chance tomorrow.
The recently appointed captain says he needs to improve his in-game leadership.
I think that's been a strength of ours and something we've put quite a lot of effort into over the last number of years in terms of acknowledging where we're at, coming together, taking a breath, getting back to neutral. But I think you're right that we weren't good enough at it on Friday. We did come together where possible and take the breath, but acknowledging what's going on and what the trends are in game is something that I need to be better at, and as a group we need to be better at. And I think as we probably got a little bit desperate given the nature of it, given we were chasing a little bit and the penalties came probably from desperation. So yeah, coming in together and trying to get back to neutral in that second half would have been a help.
While the bulk of the team is unchanged, there will be debuts off the bench for Doris's Leinster teammates Thomas Clarkson and Sam Prendergast, and the Ireland skipper was particularly effusive in his praise for the young out half.
He's an unbelievable player. Some of the things he does in training, like it's pretty unique. He's probably one of the most skillful guys I've come across. I think he can pull a rabbit out of a hat a little bit, but he's also calmer and making the right decisions a little bit now and playing what's in front of him, not always trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat, even though he's got that capability. So he's finding the balance there in terms of controlling a game, making the right decisions, bringing the best out of other people, but also capable of a bit of magic. So yeah, the message to him has been kind of be himself and do his thing during the week, and yeah, I'm excited to see what he does tomorrow.
Prendergast's name also came up when Alan Quinlan joined this morning's Off the Ball breakfast. Quinlan feels the inclusion of the 21-year-old among the Ireland replacements hints at a more dynamic closing to tomorrow night's game.
I think the selection for the bench last week for me was to see out the game, not to chase the game. And it didn't work. Again, I think the coaches will probably acknowledge that themselves. I think if you were bringing Murray, Henderson, Keane Healy, Peter Mahoney on with 15, 20 minutes to go and you're seven, eight points up, well, that's a great position to be in. So, yeah, and I think Andy Farrell has been asked a couple of times this week, and it's the reality. There's not 10 players out of this team that are at the same level performance-wise. Then the other argument is, how will we ever know? Well, go through the squad and you know, who's in that squad that's can feel really hard done by, and you can get really excited about that this guy is going to take us to the next World Cup and going to be a top international player. There's potential there for some of them, you know, but Sam Prendergast kind of bucks the trend in the sense that you feel that this guy could be a superstar at this level.
Yep.
He has to get a lot, you know, the game has to improve and needs to get stronger and all that kind of stuff, but His ceiling is pretty high.
There's lots more from Alan Quinlan and indeed Pumas legend Augustin Picho by becoming an Off The Ball member now. Go to offtheball.com/join to do just that. Brett Robinson has been elected the new chair of World Rugby. The former Wallabies international replaces Bill Beaumont, who has now served a maximum term of 8 years. Robinson beat competition from Italian Andrea Rinaldo and former France back row Abdel Benazi to the role. Rinaldo was eliminated during the first round of voting, while the vast majority of his transfers went the way of Robinson. The 54-year-old has been a member of World Rugby's executive board since 2016 and is the first non-European to assume the office. Meanwhile, former Ireland fullback Rob Kearney has joined World Rugby's executive board, along with former New Zealand women's international Melody Robinson. They'll bring a player's view to World Rugby's decision-making process. Kearney is the second Irish member of that board, following Susan Carty. World Rugby, meanwhile, has deferred a decision regarding the 20-minute red card, a variant of which is currently being trialled in the Autumn Nations series. They say the delay in the decision-making process regarding the rule is to enable further feedback and full data analysis to be considered. Trials of the following laws will begin in the new year, including in the Six Nations: a 60-second conversion limit to align with penalties and improve the game pace; a 30-second setup for lineouts will match the time for scrums to reduce downtime in the game; a play-on rule in uncontested lineouts where the throw is not straight; and scrum half protection during scrums, rucks and mauls. Mathieu Jalabert has walked out of the France squad, having been initially named among the replacements for Saturday's test with the All Blacks. The Bordeaux fly half was back up to Thomas Ramos last week against Japan and was to be once again kept in reserve this week. Head coach Fabien Galthié revealed that Jalabert wished to return to his club rather than sit on the bench for a second test in a row. However, Galthié has not closed the door on a return to the squad for Jalabert down the line. As expected, France flanker Francois Cro is also out of Saturday's game and is replaced by blindside Paul Boudon. There's a first cap for Bordeaux fullback Romain Bourras, who replaces Leo Barré. Toulon winger Gabin Villiers comes in for Théo Atizogbe, and Emilien Gailleton drops to the bench with Gaël Ficou winning his 92nd cap in the centre. Beauden Barrett returns to the All Blacks side in one of five changes to the team that started against Ireland last Friday. Damien McKenzie drops to the bench despite his man of the match display at the Aviva. There's also a change at scrum half, with Cam Roygaard replacing Cortez Ratama. The other change among their backs is on the right wing, where Sevu Reese is in for Mark Talaya. Having missed the game in Dublin with a head injury, Cody Taylor returns at hooker, with Asavo Amoah benched, and with Sam Kane succumbing to a head injury last week, there's a refreshing of the back row, with Samapeni Finau coming in at blindside flanker, Artie Savea this week starting at openside, and as he did against Japan, Wallace Satiti is named at his preferred number 8. All Blacks head coach Scott Robertson explained his decision to switch up both his halfbacks.
Yeah, look, Kim's been impressive, isn't he? He's taken his opportunities, and we believe this is the match for him. Just with the game management, the kicking, there'll be a fair bit of kicking. If the match goes to plan for both teams, I can imagine, and then Beauden comes back in after playing extremely well against England, and he's clear with his head knock.
The Northern Hemisphere Tour continues to be a reunion one for Robertson. Having met with his host family from Ards last week in Dublin, he returns to France, where he played down south for 3 years. At Perpignan, Robertson has shared what he learned during his time in the Catalan part of France.
I learned about Christophe Pocou. Tu te souviens de lui? Oui, il est très français. Look, the French style, you know, our trainings, the way they... The story about the game, how they wanted to play, and the movement, and the smell. There was a lot of gestures and talking, and so I learned those gestures before the language, really. Scott, it was a great way, because obviously came through the All Black and Crusader system, was very disciplined, very structured, and in France they didn't like that. They liked a little bit of mauling and joué, you know, so the contrast was different, and it's just a different way to play. There's no wrong or right way, it's just a different way to play. And you learn a lot about yourself, and it's definitely helped me in my coaching, because you get to understand the different strengths of teams and philosophies.
Leinster lock Orgie Snyman starts in the Springboks second row for Saturday's test with England in one of a dozen changes to the team that accounted for Scotland last week. Only Oxenshea, Bongi Mbanambi and captain Eben Etzebeth are retained. So Razzie Rasmus has the luxury of parachuting captain Sia Khaleesi and Peter Steph Dutoit into their back row alone. Erasmus has changed the entirety of their backs. Freddie Stewart replaces George Furbank at fullback for England in one of four changes to the team, beaten last week by the Wallabies in such dramatic fashion. Tommy Freeman switches from left wing to right as Ollie Slidholm graduates from the bench. At scrum half, Jack Van Portvliet is in for Ben Spencer, and Sam Underhill replaces Tom Curry at open side. England have had one day more to prepare for Saturday's game, which Erasmus believes will be a big advantage for the hosts.
No, massive. It makes a massive role. The one, basically, have two training days in which you must put in all your departments. And, you know, that's why we already picked the back line for England the previous week. You know, the guys, Jesse, Damien, Cheslin, Kirtley, Fussy, those guys. Last week, Thursday, after they helped the guys prepared for Scotland, they turned their heads to England and they started analysing England and so on, just to try and be on par with England, because England would have had an 8-8 turnaround, didn't they? No, 7-8 turnaround, sorry. So, yeah, you've got a training day less, and then if you do have a training day, the same amount of training days, you've got the recovery day less. So it's quite big.
Fullback Tom Jordan is the only Scotland starter retained for their test with Portugal on Saturday. Darcy Graham returns to the wing after missing their loss to the Springboks with a head injury. There are debuts in the pack for Glasgow lock Alex Samuel and Edinburgh flanker Ben Muncaster, and there'll be a debut too off the bench for 19-year-old flanker Freddie Douglas. Finally, there's confusion regarding the future of London Irish once again today. The Telegraph reported this morning that the club's administrators, Resolve Group, had agreed a £2.5 million deal to transfer control of the club to German investor Daniel Thomas Lowitz. The exiles were expelled from the English Premiership in June of 2023, with debts believed to have ballooned to £30 million. Lowitz's Hogilani Group was one of just a number courting the London Irish brand, with another, Strangford Capital, being a consortium that involved ex-Springboks international Bobby Skinstad and former Formula One boss Eddie Jordan. According to the Telegraph, Lowitz's group has provided proof of funds to the administrators. However, Lowitz has tweeted the author of the piece, Matt Hughes, to say that there was an internal embargo on the information contained regarding the supposed sale to his group, telling the world that he didn't want to comment on the transaction. An application has been submitted, however, for London Irish to return in a rejigged second tier of English rugby next season. Brentford's G-Tech Community Stadium is a potential home for the exiles, as is Wimbledon's Plough Lane. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.